Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is one of our favorite guests, Vicar for Faith Formation, Father Jerry Horan. Father, welcome back to our program.
Thank you.
And Father, as we do every time we meet, if you would be so kind as to open us all with a brief word of prayer.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, you call your followers and disciples to be energetic and zealous in sharing the faith. We pray that we might have the courage of your Spirit, the depth of knowledge, and the hopeful vision so that we will share and spread our faith to many lives and draw many people into your grace and your love so that together we might walk toward the kingdom. We pray your blessing upon us and our listeners. We pray that we might incite or invite knowledge and the desire for deeper knowledge among our listeners. And we pray that all of us might together enjoy the life and goodness that you want for your church. And all of this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Father, I want to thank you for being here today. And as we were talking before the show, I'm interested in something that was actually raised by another person I was talking to on the diocese here who was very familiar with a radio show. And he was interested in just how this show is affecting people who are listening to it from almost a new evangelization perspective. And we mentioned that when we were talking earlier about the development of people, both those who are brand new to the faith, but also those perhaps who have a reawakened desire to embrace the faith more completely. And the question that I had for you for this show is, if you find yourself in the Diocese of Orange, in the territory around here, and you have a burning desire to know more about your faith, regardless of your level, how would we go about doing that? And so I would go back to my own experience. I'm a convert to the faith, but I came in with a lot of depth of knowledge in general about Christianity because I'd already completed a master's in divinity as a Presbyterian minister. And I was surrounded by three other Catholic seminaries, so I had lots of help and lots of input. And the process for me was more an intellectual feast than it was a struggle. In the Diocese of Orange, we don't have a seminary like that. We don't have a college like that. We don't have a graduate school like that. If you had someone who was at that level, if you had someone who was at the beginning level, who was just beginning to awaken, I want to know, and I'd like our listeners during this hour to learn a little bit more about what they can do in the Diocese of Orange in order to feast a little on understanding of Christ in their heart and their mind.
Well, sure. That's kind of a broad spectrum of experiences, and I want to say that our diocese has a great richness of opportunities. Everything from the RCIA programs, which introduce people to the faith for somebody who either has fallen away from the faith or is not currently involved in it, or really doesn't even have acquaintance with Catholic faith, to retreats and spiritual programs that might be available in some of our retreat and spirituality ministries within the diocese. One of the kind of great riches of our diocese is a program that we call the Institute for Pastoral Ministry. And year-round, they offer courses and programs and opportunities for people to learn about their faith, to deepen it, to have spiritual experiences. The Institute will be sponsoring, just in a month, on October 15th, a day-long program at Mater Dei High School, which will offer keynotes in English, Vietnamese, and in Spanish, and a full day of workshops to explore various topics that people might be interested in. And our parish churches, it can't be overlooked. Not every program is diocesan. Not every person's interest is to get involved in a big megastructure. But every parish would have some type of activity or a faith support activity program for adults. Those can range from Bible studies to Knights of Columbus to Ladies Sodalities to backyard theology programs, theology on tap. I was mentioning to you a little bit earlier about one parish, Our Lady Queen of Angels, where I'm told they have 600 adults in small faith-sharing groups that meet regularly. And what a great strength and opportunity that is to deepen the faith.
You have just shotgun blasted out there all these different things for everyone to listen to. And I am overwhelmed and thrilled that the diocese has that much. So what I think I want to do is to pare it down a little bit and drill down a little on a couple of different areas. So perhaps it would be good for us to ask the question, if there was someone who was just now listening the last few months to Catholic Radio and lived somewhere in the Diocese of Orange and was not Catholic, but was interested in knowing more about what the Catholic Church actually teaches, knows just a little bit, what would that person need to do in order to explore more if they were in this area? What would you suggest?
Well, I think that the answer to that, I would suggest that they call their local parish and talk either to one of the parish priests or to the director of RCIA, the Rite for Christian Initiation of Adults. And that's a process and a program that operates in every parish of the diocese, and it invites people to reflect upon and consider various themes in spiritual life. It's not just a course of jumping through the hoops or taking the test and then you've got it, but it's a process, and it's kind of tailored and individualized to a person's spiritual growth.
Okay, so RCIA is a diocesan-wide, it's actually in its own forms throughout the United States.
Surely.
But each diocese tailors it a little bit to themselves. If you were a newcomer, an inquirer, in fact, that's one of the words in its name, initiations. If you were uninitiated into the Catholic faith and you wanted to know more, to find out more about when RCIA meets would be a real good step. If you were to try to get involved then as an inquirer, does that mean you're making some sort of commitment to this program, to the Catholic Church itself? Or can you just come in, take a look, put your toe in the water, so to speak?
Well, I think, I don't think you're necessarily at the outset making a commitment. It is moving in the direction of a commitment, if that, in fact, is what the experience provides to the individual. We rather call it, rather than a program, we call it a process. And so the process really begins with that interview, either with the parish priest or with the RCIA director in a local parish, talking about what are you looking for? What are you seeking? What are you needing in life? What are your hopes? Where is your life going? And from the answer to those kind of questions comes some level of discernment whether RCIA is going to provide a helpful avenue for you. Some people come and they want to be Catholic, and they want to be Catholic by a certain date. You know, they're
going to be Catholic. Going to be Catholic now.
Yeah, or they want it in time for a child, their children's first communion, so they can make first communion with their child or something like that. There can be all kinds of motivations and reasons, and the church welcomes everybody. But we go through this process of discernment, of examining our lives, examining the faith, and examining how the tradition of Catholic faith can be meaningful in guiding us through our life. And so the process can be, it's envisioned to be a year. It can take longer if that's what the process requires or necessitates for the individual to truly feel both ready for the grace of the sacrament and entry into the life of the church.
So this is kind of a, all right, I'm going to reduce it down probably grossly, but I'm an educator. So this is a hybrid between a course of subjects and spiritual discovery. And so you've got topics that are put out there each week that they then discuss and drill down and see where we are on those topics.
Yes, and you know, I mean, certainly if we look back at the life of the early church, the earliest Christians, people weren't baptized as babies, they were baptized as adults. And so as adult inquirers, they saw this growing group of Christians and many were attracted both by their message and the life that they observed in them. And so the church evolved or developed this process of inviting others into examining their life and making the commitment of faith. That's precisely what the RCIA program today is modeled after, is that that extended period of self-reflection that was the catechumenate of the early church. And so it's a process of self-reflection and self-analysis.
Father, I want to thank you for that introduction. And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Father Jerry Horan. And Father is the Vicar for Faith Formation of the Diocese of Orange here at the Pastoral Center in beautiful Garden Grove, California. We're coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope, and we'll be right back. Back here atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, coming to you from the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host for Orange County Catholic Radio, and with me today is Father Gerald Horan, who is the Vicar for Faith Formation in the Diocese of Orange. And we've been talking about how does the Diocese of Orange meet the needs of those people who might be listening today on this radio broadcast who are interested in their faith. And we were talking this first section about those especially who have very little catechesis already, and also those perhaps who have had catechesis, maybe walked away for a while or never really developed much more than about third grade. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. So the RCIA, it's interesting because when I was a Protestant in ministry, when you did the initiation courses, say, for the Presbyterian Church, it was basically one initiation course, and it was a couple of weeks, and it was for everybody that came in. Because from the Protestant perspective, we have baptism, and we have communion. And then we have lots of different interpretations about what communion means, even what baptism means. But there's just two recognized sacraments. So it's a matter of, do you need to be introduced to our congregation, our fellowship? And that's predominantly what it's about. RCIA is a very different process, a very different program than that. And you mentioned, you alluded to that. And I want to make sure, especially those who are listening who've heard RCIA before, don't know that much about it. RCIA actually not only is for people who've never really heard of the Catholic Church before, but also Catholics who were perhaps baptized Catholic and then kind of moved away from the church. Their parents never took them to church, but they want to come back into the church somehow. RCIA fulfills that. How does that work?
Well, the program is very flexible, and it can be quite individualized. We speak about candidates and catechumens. Catechumens are those who have not previously been baptized. Some of the candidates for full initiation, are individuals who maybe they were baptized in another Christian denomination. So, and we, of course, in the Catholic Church, regard and an acceptance of the baptism of all Christian denominations. As long as it's Trinitarian, it's done with water, then any individual, a priest, a minister, a layperson can baptize. And so, but these candidates, in order to enter our faith community, then they are nurtured in the faith and make progress toward that commitment and the fullness of our sacramental life. So the program is individually tailored. Usually it's based in a fairly small or intimate group of participants. And usually it involves attending the first part of the Mass together, after which candidates and catechumens are dismissed to their own session of reflection.
So that first part of the Mass that is what we would call the time of the Word, where we would have
the Liturgy of the Word, yes.
We would hear the reading of the Gospel, we would hear the preaching on the Gospel, the teaching, the homily. And then at the end of the homily, roughly.
Yes, between the homily and the creed, usually the candidates and catechumens are dismissed to their own session to reflect, as we say, more deeply upon the word.
Because theoretically, they really can't say the creed yet and mean it until they've gone through this process or something equivalent.
That's right.
Which is why we do it then.
Both the Eucharist and the profession of the creed have as their basis, the commitment of faith, which these individuals have not fully entered into.
But they're working on it.
They're working on it, that's right.
And what was interesting to me is that they can come into this same RCIA process, but at different levels. So as we mentioned before, someone who's just for the first time looking at the Catholic Church can come in. Someone who was baptized as a baby but never went through any other sacraments can come in. Someone who was baptized, got their first reconciliation, first communion, but never did their confirmation can come in. And a lot of those people that are coming in at those stages often had very limited instruction in the faith or catechesis, which means they have a lot of questions. And this is the place where that can be expounded.
Expounded, can be deepened, can be explored. It's a safe environment to ask the questions that they need in order to make personal progress. And, it's kind of a well-known statistic that Roman Catholics are the largest single denomination in Christianity, but the second largest denomination are ex-Catholics. And so there are a lot of Catholics out there who, for one reason or another, for some misunderstanding or some accident of relationships that didn't work or whatever, have become distant from the faith community. RCIA presents the opportunity to look at that faith journey, look at what it might need to be strengthened or enhanced, and how the sacramental life might help to repair that relationship.
So this is open then to everyone who would have a question. I would assume then that even someone who had been in the faith, was baptized and received all their sacraments, including confirmation. There's a lot of people a generation ago almost looked at confirmation as a graduation out of the religion and would get their confirmation, go off to college and leave the Catholic Church.
Well, and as I mentioned
and
to you,
coming back later.
Part of what we observe in the children's faith formation programs is that our programs for young people and catechesis, they tend to peak with second and third grade with the reception of sacraments. And then by seventh or eighth grade, 60% of those individuals are gone. And so all of those individuals are moving into all of the challenges of an adult world with the second or third grade understanding of their faith. So there's a lot of people who really need to, maybe they need a fuller and more detailed knowledge of the faith. Maybe they need to develop the spiritual side of the journey and an awareness and prayer experience of God present with them. Maybe they don't understand the liturgy. Maybe they have questions about the moral life. All of these are things that can be explored. That's why I say that the discernment with the parish priest or the local RCIA director is the critical moment, because that individual is trained, knowledgeable, and wanting to be pastoral and help this individual to find the right path. Maybe RCIA is the best way to address an individual's concerns, or maybe there is another expression or opportunity within the parish faith community that's going to be more appropriate for that particular individual.
So if someone is listening on the radio right now, regardless of where they're starting in from, whether they have never really been involved with the Catholic Church before or have received all their sacraments but still have questions, talking to the priest and then looking at whether or not even just attending some of the RCIA, especially, let me back up for a moment. Someone who's been away from the church for a while, theoretically, all they really need to do to get back into faith is to go to confession and be readmitted to the sacraments. But for a lot of people who've been away for a number of years, they would also benefit from spending some time talking through some of these issues, wouldn't they?
Well, of course. There are 62 parishes in our diocese, and each one of them operates the RCIA program individually. I don't know if all of them are fluid or welcoming of people coming in and going out of the group. I think once the group is formed, they might accept new members, but the decision to be in RCIA is a decision to be part of that group and to continue with it. So I don't think they look to have a fluid participation or membership. So that's why I keep saying that the opportunity of a discernment conversation with the local director of the RCIA or one of the parish priests can be a real critical opportunity for gaining some focus, for articulating what is it I'm looking for, and determining whether or not RCIA is the pathway. Maybe it's not. If a person is just wanting to understand the liturgy better or wanting to deepen their knowledge of Scripture or to understand the moral teachings of the church, I might recommend that that individual look, if their parish doesn't have a very active adult faith formation opportunities or program, they might look to the Institute for Pastoral Ministry, which offers ongoing classes in all of those topics.
We've got about a minute left in this segment, so I want to finish this out. But in other words, if someone comes in who already has been initiated in, so really isn't in need of a long-term training, there are other opportunities in their parish to be able to have more specialized interests or answers to their questions, whether it's individually with someone who's knowledgeable or a program or a class.
Definitely.
Or something that's going on like that. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Father Gerald Horan, who is the Vicar for Faith Formation. And Father, that as Vicar for Faith Formation, you include all of the Catholic schools. You include also the religious education program. You include a lot of things.
Well, I don't include them. I try to work with them.
You work
them.
With them. And, you help empower and inspire.
Yes.
So we are talking to the right person to talk about where to go if we want to deepen our faith. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more deeply, instead of about neophytes and people who are brand new to the faith, if you want to go deep into your faith, what would a Catholic and the Diocese of Orange do? We'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
And we're back at Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the kind offices of Immaculate Heart Radio on the 8th floor of the Tower of Hope on the campus of Christ Cathedral in beautiful Garden Grove, California. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Father Jerry Horan. And Father, I want to thank you so much for coming on a regular basis with us and being a regular voice to our people. The listening audience probably will recognize you because we've had you talking about a number of different topics, and it's been a joy to have you on, and you are always so open and welcoming to talk about different topics. This one's a little safer than some of the ones we've got into before, so I think we're doing okay. But in this case, I want to shift gears a little bit. We've been talking about how people can explore the Catholic faith, especially our listening audience, if they were brand new to the faith or had perhaps been a Catholic and fallen away for a while. Now I want to ask the question, if I were a practicing Catholic, I've been going to Mass regularly, and I've been strengthening my relationship with God, what is available for me to go beyond that 1 hour a Sunday commitment so that I can deepen my faith with Christ through the Diocese of Orange or through my parish?
Well, the possibilities are going to be different in every parish, and they can range from a program. Several parishes have backyard theology or summer barbecues where a time of socializing or potluck meal is followed with a serious discussion or a presentation on a religious topic. And some of those can be wonderful opportunities. There's a new program for young adults that's kind of happening in a number of places in the diocese, Theology on Tap.
Oh, that sounds good. What is that all about?
Well, it's got a more a young adult focus, but
over 21.
Over 21. Okay. But typically, it's a little bit of beer and a little bit of talking about serious. Again, it's a social gathering, but ordinarily there'll be a speaker, and then there's who'll make a presentation, and then some open dialogue on topics, a chance and a location for people to explore the questions that are important to them. Then there are more formal things. There are a number of avenues and opportunities for retreat experiences. The Heart of Jesus Retreat Center, the Pro Sanctity Center, the Loyola Spirituality Institute, and they all offer programs to explore the spiritual.
Give me an example. If you were wanting to take a retreat and have never really taken a retreat since you were in high school, your last retreat you took was for your confirmation program, and that might have been 15 years ago. How would someone go about researching and finding out about a retreat to take in the Diocese of Orange?
Well, there are any variety of types and styles of retreats. There are preached retreats. There are silent retreats. There are retreats that are built upon a particular spiritual tradition. And so part of the question is, what might the individual be looking for? There are, I mentioned, three retreat centers, the Pro Sanctity Center, the Loyola Spirituality Institute, the Heart of Jesus Center.
Describe each one of those three a little bit.
The Loyola Spirituality Institute is built upon Ignatian spirituality and the tradition of St. Ignatius Loyola. They offer a variety. They offer both classes and retreat opportunities and spiritual experiences. So one day, 3 months long, any variety of structures, but to explore spiritual themes and built upon the examine and spiritual tradition of St. Ignatius. The Heart of Jesus Center, by contrast, it's located over in Santa Ana, and they offer a lot of children's programming. They also offer adult education opportunities and spiritual enrichment opportunities. It's run by the Society of Sisters Devoted to the Sacred Heart. The Pro Sanctity Center up in Fullerton, it's on the campus of the parish where I assist occasionally, St. Philip Benizi, and it's run by a group called the Apostolic Oblates. They are not religious like nuns and priests, but they're consecrated lay people who have made a commitment to vows, but who live as lay people in the church, and they run a spirituality institute. They have a variety of educational programs and opportunities, and you could call any one of those organizations directly, and or you could call our offices and ask for reference to any of them. And depending on what you're looking at, what you want to explore, what you feel as a personal need, or maybe a problem that you're trying to deal with or overcome, we might be able to determine or discern that one or the other might be of more value and more help to you at this moment in your life.
So it's my understanding, for example, that a number of our programs that have an outreach for whatever reason often have some sort of a retreat experience tied to it. So I know that there are couples ministries, and often the couples ministries will also have some sort of a couples mini retreat that they might.
Yes.
Have, those kinds of things.
And special retreats. There's another program takes place at the Pro Sanctity Center, beginning again, I think it's called, but it's particularly for people who are recovering from a divorce experience and wanting to reexamine their lives and consider their readiness for new relationships.
And after the Year of Mercy, we're going to have, I think, a lot of business for that particular one. At least we can pray so. So if you're an adult who is interested in deepening their faith, the retreat experience is something that they could explore here in the Diocese of Orange.
Sure.
What other avenues might they be looking at doing in order to try to get more of an in-depth understanding of their faith, either intellectually or spiritually?
Within the parish?
Within the parish or at the diocesan level?
Well, I think most parishes have a variety of Bible study programs. Some of them have various, they're both social and devotional sodalities or men's or women's groups, the Knights of Columbus, men's fellowship groups. There are a wide variety of program opportunities of those type. One of the growing type of opportunities are small group spirituality gatherings. In fact, we're emphasizing those a lot today, where people get together and they perhaps have a Lectio Divina, a reading of a portion of Scripture, and sharing on important issues or concerns. And the small group faith sharing structure is very, very fruitful. In fact, we're launching into an initiative. One of the concerns that Bishop Van has expressed to me is his desire for us to get these many programs and different initiatives throughout the diocese, bring them kind of to the same page so that we begin at least to cultivate and to work from a shared vision of the church. I mean, we have a shared vision of the sacramental life, but we need to take that deeper. We need a more focused and singular vision. And hopefully the initiative of faith-sharing groups in the parishes would become kind of a structure or a skeleton that would allow that sort of initiative to flourish.
And some of these parishes have already been underway and doing very well. You mentioned one, and I don't remember the name of it, had like 600 people involved?
I heard Queen of Angels in Newport Beach has 600 adults involved in faith-sharing groups of different types, and that's spectacular. And those people who are both committed and involved in ongoing reflection in their faith, they become the core of a community that reaches out and evangelizes, because the real goal, a big part of the goal of that, these initiatives, is to strengthen the church and to allow us to reach out and draw others in. The priests of the diocese had a few seminars in our winter study days over recent years that really focused on growing the church by these kind of initiatives. We studied a book by a Father Michael White from the East Coast called Rebuilt. And he talks about how he transformed his parish through small group faith sharing initiatives. And then last year we did work with a woman named Sherry Waddell of the Siena Institute. And she's written a book called Forming Intentional Disciples. And really, if we think just about that title, that's the task right there, is that we would all become intentional about our discipleship of Jesus. She makes the point that a lot of us don't really think, you know, about or take our faith to the second or third question. You know, we don't like anything that interferes with what we're comfortable with. We get mad if a new program in the church, you know, takes the parking space I'm used to having or my place in the third pew. And she's saying that if we're really disciples of Jesus and that's our intention and our focus, that we really grow and cultivate that commitment.
Father, I want to thank you for that. We've got one section left, and when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about formal ministry formation as well as more formal spiritual direction. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1-acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
And we're back coming to you from beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today has been Father Jerry Horan. And Father, I want to thank you. As the Vicar for Faith Formation, you've been sharing with us about many of the resources that our Diocese of Orange and the local parishes have available, not just for people who are new to the faith, but also for those people who want to deepen their faith. Because after all, if we're called to follow the love of Jesus Christ, who loved us to death, who loved us enough to want us to then follow him in his footsteps so that we would dedicate our lives to bringing people a little bit closer to him and bringing him to them, that means a life of really lived ministry. And if we're going to take seriously our call in Christ, then we're not only just trying to develop our own spirituality, there's still a selfishness if that's where it ends. It's about developing the love of Christ in other people, which grows us. So with that in mind, as people go deeper into their faith, there's going to be, I've seen it over and over again, a natural desire to want to give back, to go into more formalized ministry. In the Diocese of Orange, I understand there's a somewhat formalized process for lay ministry to be trained, so they're all on the same page. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the Institute for Pastoral Ministries, IPM we call it, is one of the programs under the umbrella of our Office of Faith Formation. And it really is a training ground for almost any ministry that a person would want to embark upon. There are some basic or core courses that are part of preparation for ministry that would introduce a person to some basics of Catholic and Christian theology and acquaint a person or at least review for them the tradition of the church. And then it would have courses to specialize in particular programs. It offers class opportunities in English and in Spanish. I would say almost two-thirds of the programming is Spanish language programming.
Wow.
But they do some fantastic things. They've got great programming. Deacons in training usually go through the IPM courses as part of their training for their ministry. And so there's a great richness and diversity of people involved in those programs.
So let's break this down a little bit. I know in the Diocese of San Bernardino, which I came out of, they had four core courses to what they called their ministry formation program, Ministry Formation Institute. And those four core courses introduced you. They were like 6 weeks or something like that, 6 or 8 weeks. And they met like every Saturday or every Thursday or whenever it was they were going to meet. And then you took all four of those, and then you had an opportunity to take another level of courses. Is it structured similarly here in the Diocese of Orange?
Yes, and there's quite a bit of flexibility in how we offer the programs depending upon the needs of local communities. If a parish wants to sponsor a certification course on site, if they've got 15 people who are wanting or able to make the commitment that that course would require, then we'll bring the program to them as long as we get the required number of contact hours in the various areas that the curriculum requires. We can structure it over two weekends or over an extended period of time of shorter classes, where there's quite a bit of flexibility. But we would like, it's the goal to have every catechist, everyone teaching in a parish faith formation program, achieve at least basic certification. Basic certification is what you were describing. And in fact, the norms for these programs are determined by or outlined, articulated by the bishops for use in all of the dioceses of the state.
Okay. And so they're all similar in many ways.
Yes. The basics are the details, or they might be nuanced. And we would require catechists, Catholic school teachers, deacons in training, and other particular ministries. I think there's even a certification for people who want to be involved in respect, life, or peace and justice ministries. But and we ask people entering into those ministries to take a similar course. The basic part of it would be similar across all the ministries, and then there'd be a specialized portion that would lead to a particular certificate.
So, for example, when I went through, I've done a couple of different ones. One was specialization in Catholic education. Another one was what they called Salt and Light, which was on social justice.
Mm-hmm.
So each individual area would have its own specialization within the realm of pastoral ministry.
Right, right.
So if someone was interested in doing more ministry, especially a catechetical ministry, one that touches on catechesis and so many things do, then they would want to be involved in that coursework to at least get the basic certification down.
Oh, for sure.
And then they can go ahead and explore even deeper these other areas, if those are the areas that they would like to do. I take it there's a small cost, but it's not that expensive to do this.
No, and we would not let cost be an obstacle. The if a person isn't able to afford the tuition, very often their parish will support them in that, because the parish is really the beneficiary of that training. And if the parish or the individual really isn't able to do it, then we can look at various forms of tuition assistance offered through the IPM program.
Okay. So if you're talking about someone then who has a desire to either do ministry or to go deeper in their faith than what they've already had, that would be an intellectual vehicle to be able to do that.
Right.
What about spiritual direction? And I mean by that the more formalized spiritual direction. Do the Catholic Church still do that?
Oh, surely. There are a lot of, it's a great richness, not just for religious professed priests and religious nuns or sisters, but for all people. We need that companionship and feedback and guidance that comes from spiritual direction. And perhaps the great leaders in this initiative might be both the Sisters of St. Joseph in partnership with the Loyola Spirituality Institute. And they run a training program for spiritual directors, and they would have both qualified and graduated directors and directors in training would be open to new clients or partners.
These are lay people generally, though some priests will do spiritual direction as well, I understand. And they're trained in order to recognize avenues that are commonly needed to be developed in the spiritual lives
exactly.
of people that come to them. So if I wanted to start in formalized spiritual direction, I've already got a deep educational background of some sort in Catholic faith, and what I really would like to do is to go deeper spiritually. How would I go about doing that?
Well, I might recommend, I mean, you could locate a priest who's open to doing spiritual direction. You can contact the priests in the parishes. Perhaps some of the priests up at the Norbertina Abbey might be involved in that. Or call Loyola Spirituality Institute and talk to them about how you would go about the process of locating a spiritual director. As I said earlier, they have both people in training and people who are already certified who are eager to be spiritual companions in that kind of ministry.
Wow. Father, we have gone over a huge amount of material today. We've gone from talking about what new people to the faith who are just opening their eyes to the possibility of Catholic faith and how they might find their answers in the process of RCIA and talking to their pastor, all the way up through ministry formation programs to hone people who are already deeply committed to the faith and want to give back to Christ through their ministry to the people around them. Thank you so much, Father, for being here and being willing to do all that.
And what it kind of impresses upon me is that it's not just jumping into the deep end of the pool. Here I was on the diving board and now I'm wet. You know, it's not just a once for all and I'm hatched or I'm ready. It's an ongoing process in each of our lives to reflect on the gospel, to take it to heart, and to apply it to the reality of living, learning, living, and loving our faith.
And then, of course, we have all these other supports that are out there for us. We have, as you're listening to right now, Catholic Radio that we are so blessed with to have in Southern California, which covers this diocese as well as several other dioceses. We have a number of different trainings. I know the group, I happen to also do double duty. I'm the West Coast Director for St. Joseph Radio. We do a number of seminars, and we also have a separate program that airs on these stations on Saturday mornings.
And we have our weekly Catholic newspaper, the OC Catholic.
And the OC Catholic not only has its print version, but it also has the electronic version. And while it's sometimes a couple of weeks behind, it has the podcast for what we're listening to right now on their Orange County Catholic Radio site. So there are a number of different options in the Diocese of Orange to go very deep and with lots of augmentation.
Definitely.
Father Jerry, I want to thank you once again for coming in. And you are a regular here, and you're a regular because you not only are so deeply faithful, you're so gracious in sharing that. And
thank
I deeply
you.
Appreciate that. Father, would you please lead us in a blessing for the people who are listening?
Lord our God, you sent your disciples to baptize and to preach and baptize and to welcome others into the family of faith. Look upon all of our listeners. Look upon each one of us. Guide us and help us, grace us in our spiritual journey. Keep us in your love. Protect us and help us as we continue on our pathway toward the kingdom. And may Almighty God bless you all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll see you again next week.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.